Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. You know, if you have been following the trends in weather, one of the things that I was made acutely aware of the other day was that August, prior to September, we have had a record-breaking number of storms. Usually this hits us in September, but no, like many, many things, we're seeing heat waves, we're seeing changes. But what does that mean for the people that are not able to get the care that they need, especially kidney patients? So how do we prepare kidney patients for hurricanes amidst COVID-19 pandemic? So it's not just hurricanes. We have a situation which has really affected the landscape of our lives. Now, when you put these two together, could that be the perfect storm? Mandy Hale is joining me here today, Chief Nursing Officer for DaVita Kidney Care, and knows a lot about this. Mandy, it's great to have you here.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
So I say the perfect storm because, you know, we know what the perfect storm is. It's not necessarily a good thing, right? But it is the kind of thing where just with COVID-19, it's a major undertaking to make sure people get the care they need, kidney patients in particular. But what is the impact of this now when we put weather on top of COVID-19?
Well, it certainly does create some additional complexities for our patient population, those who have kidney disease and failure. We have to think about emergency kits differently. And we also have to think about what evacuation could look like differently.
Yeah. So in your work, what you're doing, what is it that has caused you the most concern now? Is it that people are not aware of the preparedness they need? Or is it they don't know where to go? But this is something that you all are doing to spread the word. What is on your top three things that people should know about?
Sure. Well, every year around this time, we do start emergency preparedness planning for patients who live in areas that would be impacted by hurricanes. This year, though, I would say the top three items on my mind are ensuring that we have them appropriately prepared for evacuation.
Oh, yeah.
Secondly, being sure that we have emergency kits that contain items we have historically instructed patients to include, but plus additional things such as masks for COVID-19. And then thirdly is ensuring that all kidney patients, so not even just DaVita patients, have our 800 emergency line in the event that their plans do need to change and they need additional direction and guidance.
You know, these are the kinds of things we don't think about. I mean, kidney patients have very specific needs. I mean, this is life and death. This is not sort of, Mandy, one of these things where we look at and we say, oh, well, by the way, it'd be a good idea to dot, dot, dot. This is really looking at, am I going to be able to get prescriptions? Is a pharmacy available? What do I need to make sure that I have everything ready to go if I have to leave my home, right?
Exactly. You're right on. Dialysis replaces the functions of the kidneys. And so as humans, we have to have these functions in our body to stay alive. And so for those who have functioning kidneys, this is happening automatically every day, so we don't necessarily think about it. But when that function is lost, dialysis is absolutely critical.
So before we get too far ahead of ourselves, look, how do people find out about how to get their Go Kit?
Yes. Well, I would direct you and your listeners to our website for that information, and that's DaVita, DaVita.com, DaVita.com. But our patients are meeting with their care teams regularly in their dialysis centers and learning these things. In their emergency care kits, they're learning to include at least 3 days of food and water. Their prescriptions, as you mentioned, we want them to have at least 2 weeks of prescription medications on hand, and different paperwork that outlines their specific medical care plans. And then also masks and hand sanitizer and additional items based on kind of the simultaneous occurrence of the pandemic.
You know, my family went through Hurricane Andrew. People don't remember Andrew unless you've actually lived through it. And certainly since Andrew, there have been other hurricanes that have hit the coastline and the Gulf. I mean, there's no question about it. But what we find is that even with our technology, and whether it be the Weather Channel or an app on your phone, the idea of preparing doesn't seem to be taken in a proactive way. What would you say is the most proactive things that people need to do? Whenever I think about this, I know where the flashlights are. I know where the candles are. I know when the power goes out, right? But this is very specific. What does the Go Kit look like?
Yeah, well, in addition to having those physical items to be prepared, we also have to think about what evacuation could look like. And you have to put together plans for almost best to worst case scenario. So for our patients, for instance, we prefer they stay at home if they can. That helps keep them safe from the virus. And if they can continue to live in their homes, that's our best recommendation. But some patients will be instructed to evacuate by emergency personnel. So our next plan, then our second choice, is for them to stay with loved ones or family member, close friend, so they can continue to stay kind of away from the public areas because of the virus. And then kind of thinking in worst case scenario, for patients who may have to be evacuated into public safety areas, we have educated them on continuing to follow CDC guidelines. So wearing masks, social distancing 6 feet apart from others, and frequent hand washing. So we think through kind of each stage and help our patients uniquely plan.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, too, is you can prepare sort of a kit where you have hand sanitizer, wipes, so many things that you can get some assistance, perhaps from family, to just have this ready to go for you to take on the road. And, you know, you all are out in front about this. Why has this become a passion for you, Mandy?
Well, for me personally, I have taken care of patients with kidney disease for almost 20 years now. So I've had the opportunity to do that in hands-on roles where I actually deliver dialysis treatments and care to patients, and now support patients through caring for our nurses and helping them prepare and educate patients. But for me, our patients are a vulnerable population. They face many challenges. Kidney disease is more than just not having effective kidneys. There's a lot of challenges that go along with obtaining care, and I'm proud to be part of an organization who leads providing that care, and genuinely and authentically, we care for our patients and are here to support them with all their needs.
Mm. Well, let me just tell you, I am very thrilled to be able to help you get this information out. It is so very, very important because kidney patients, they don't really have many options. You know what I mean? You know, this is really a life and death situation. You know, somebody that's on dialysis and misses a day, it could end them up in the hospital, right?
Absolutely. That they could end up in the hospital with a missed dialysis treatment. Their immune systems are weakened more, yeah. which, you know, is especially high risk right now. And there's a lot of complications with yeah. a missed treatment.
Well, last question. Two questions. Please tell us what the website is again. And then the last question, I'd love to know your personal message for today for people.
Sure. Our website is davita.com, and that's davita.com. And the message that I would like to share with all of your listeners is please is prepare yourself if you are somebody who does have kidney disease. And then also there's so many things we can do to help others, even if we ourselves aren't affected or don't personally know someone that is. So please do practice the CDC guidelines around masking and social distancing and hand washing. You can't tell by looking at someone if they have kidney disease or not. And so practicing these things at all times will help us contribute to the health and well-being of our fellow human beings.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much, Mandy. I know you're busy with these very, very informative conversations. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And everybody, let's take a short break. Please pass the word on this. It's just one more thing to help you prepare to be safe and thrive. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Listen while you work. Streaming live on any device. Tune in to the Transformation Radio Network. Visit transformationradio.fm.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Take us with you on that morning commute. Download your favorite podcast from the Transformation Radio Network. Just visit transformationradio.fm.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Step into your highest potential and tune into Embodying Your Higher Self. Tools for Conscious Living with Michelle Cempaka. You can listen on TransformationTalkRadio.com or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Michelle is an energy healer, intuitive, and shamanic practitioner dedicated to helping you heal and transform your life. For more information about sessions, coaching, and upcoming workshops and retreats, visit spiritweaverjourneys.com.
Hey, everybody. Look it. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our good news segment. And this is really good news. You know, I was recently asked how I was doing. And for some strange reason, my answer was batting 1,000. And why do I say that? Here's why I say this. I get to talk with people like Dr. Rhonda Meadows joining me here today. Dr. Meadows, right, is going to be talking with us as an expert on how to. The how-tos, you ready? How to. And it's about the tools to help employees stay healthy in the workplace. Because I was talking with somebody the other day, Dr. Meadows, and what I was saying, you know, we're not you. We don't have your knowledge and expertise, your fantastic background. You're passionate about what you do. You are commissioner for Georgia Health Department at one point in time. You've probably pretty much have seen it all. But, you know, there are so many questions that have come up now in this new reality that we're experiencing. And I have to say, I think we've been making stuff up as we go, but we need to start doing things that work. So thank you for joining me here today.
It is a pleasure. I am looking forward to this interview. This is going to be great.
And I'm not kidding. And let me just give you an example, and then I want you to take over, take the wheel.
Okay.
You know, we are here to not just try to understand the physical nature, but we're also trying to understand the entire nature of this. And what I mean by that is whether you're thinking about psychology, whether you think about spirituality, whether you think about fear, you know, we're trying to connect the dots, right? So at the end, it's like you ever go to a diner and you got all the dots and you have to connect them. And then if you connect them right, you get the right giraffe or something on the page.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's what we've been doing here. So I want to connect the dots so I get the right animal on the page. Because COVID-19, we have never experienced this in our lifetimes. How have you been able to wrap your mind and your heart around this to come up with a message that employees and employees will understand and actually do?
Probably the first thing is realizing that we're talking about people.
Yeah.
Whether we call them employees, our family, ourselves, the whole nine yards. So the way that I wrap my mind around the whole thing is, at the end of the day, what is it going to take to keep people as safe and healthy as possible with what we know and not get rattled every time something new, shiny, or exciting or bad comes our way, right? We have to stay focused. So when we talk about, okay, how do we keep people safe when they're trying to go back to work? We need to stop and think for a minute, okay? Depending on what kind of business or what kind of work you're talking about depends on whether or not it is going to be safe. So if you actually are still amazingly employed or still have a thriving business, that's probably number one step. But number two is where you're working, a place that you could be at, or do you have the option of working from home? And I'm not saying that one is going to be a whole lot easier for some folks, but if there's an option, stay home. If you have to be in the workplace, is the workplace something that can be modified to be safer, right? Can you get the distancing in, the 6 to 10 feet, right? Can you put in the hand washing stations? Can you put in the sanitizers if you can find it? Can you provide extra masks? You have to do all of these things, and you have to do it consistently, right? I see people who go to work, they wear the mask, walking in the door, and suddenly the mask disappears. There is no magic in the air, right?
Yeah.
The viral infection and transmission can still occur. So it's consistency, right? The second thing is being smart about the people who are coming back to work. If you're the employer, do you know your employee population? Do you have a bunch of young, healthy people who are probably at lower risk for the more severe disease? Or do you have a mixture? And if that's the case, does everybody need to come in? Do you need to actually do shifts? Do you need to have special sections for different people to try to minimize their exposure? Can some people, again, work from home? You have to space it out and you have to figure it out. Part of what we do with COVID Ready is try to help with the overwhelming number of changes, information, news stories, articles that come out, right? And when we talk about testing, trying to keep up with the best tests, the most effective tests, the ones that give you the results when you need it, like when you're acutely infected, whether or not antibody tests are going to be helpful or not, that science is still developing, figuring out new treatment protocols, when to call, when to come in. All that stuff is work that we would do to help an employer and their employees. This is an employee population health service. It's not a one and done test. It's actually ongoing. An employee would go online, register, find a testing center right where they live, get their own results, have their own account, see their own results. If the test is positive, we help them connect with the health professionals. We connect them with telehealth doctors, with care managers if they have complex medical histories. We talk to them about who needs to be tested for exposure. If the test is negative, it's not over, right? That means you're negative for that day. On an ongoing basis, you could be exposed at any time. So we help by having people check their own temperature, check their own symptoms every single day before you go to work. And we do that through a phone app, a wearable, your phone, right?
Yeah.
Checking your temperature,
yeah.
Check your symptoms. Anything changes, we can get you retested. But probably going beyond the whole testing and the screening and assessing you for risk for more severe illness is also the emotional support that comes by being able to reach health professionals, right? when you need them, whether it's online, again, the telehealth, the care manager, nurses, the navigators. One of the things that we don't talk enough about is the mental health and toll that this is taking.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like an ongoing onslaught.
Yeah.
The pandemic is not going to be ending anytime soon. We know this. So how do we help people get the information they want, feel a little bit confident about what they're doing, that they're doing the best that they can right now to keep themselves safe, and at the same time, give them a little bit of sense of relief from the continuous changes that are occurring by actually managing that ourselves, right, and handling that for them.
I'll tell you, I could talk to you for about 3 hours about this, but in a short 6 minutes, you have summed up the emotional, the mental, and the also for a lot of people, the spiritual aspect of this. Before we get too further along, I have been to the website. I've been to your organization. Phenomenal. Can you tell folks how they could take a peek at all of the things you just mentioned? Please give out your website here.
Sure. Our website is www.ayin, Ayin is spelled AYIN.com. So once again, that's www.ayin.com. You know, there's a whole host of information available for public health and for your health professionals regularly. Don't be shy. Ask questions.
I'm going to tell you, look, here's what we are talking about today. And this is an interesting, I did a show with one of my hosts a couple of weeks ago. And we're not going to talk about the new normal, because this is really indescribable what is happening. Everything from employees, for example, let me give you one case, then I'd love for you to talk to this. From an employee being sick. Literally being sick. I mean, didn't feel well, all of the symptoms, all the signs. At some point down the road, does get a test, and the test doesn't show any antibodies. And so when people are experiencing this at a real gut level, I mean, her family knew she was sick. I mean, they took all the precautions. We're not even talking about the game of walking on ice around this and the emotional aspect of this. But isn't getting prepared and ready for it, doesn't it take some of the scariness out of that if you know you're doing what you need to do?
I think it does. You know, we can't control this virus, okay?
No.
What we can do is control what we can do to reduce our exposure, to understand when it hits us, what to do then to treat our symptoms, treat ourselves, when to ask for extra help. When you already have a plan in advance, it's not going to be perfect, but it's better than just trying to react in the moment, right? That's when it really gets a little bit freaky. And if a test comes back negative, but you really are concerned that you are really sick, you got to believe your body.
Yeah.
You got to believe what you feel.
Yeah.
Right. And so if that's the case, then maybe you need to self-isolate at home. Maybe you need to make sure that your family members also get tested. At some point down the road, somebody's going to come in positive. But you need to act as if you recognize what you're feeling, what your symptoms are. Go with what you know. Okay.
Yeah. I want to ask you this. I know you're running from interview to interview here, so I do appreciate your time. And I know what it's like to be on a mission the way that you are right now. I want to go back to one thing you said, because I believed, and I made this statement a while ago, we don't know what we don't know about COVID-19. I don't know if that's true anymore, but my sense is there is a rather be safe than sorry. And there's a whole range of emotions around this. But employers are having to do things / enforce things that are teaching them a whole new skill set. I'm telling you, I was off to a wedding in Montana, right? And I drove through Montana. I didn't know what to expect. And we went into like a convenience place to use the bathroom and get some coffee, right? And the next thing I know, the woman that was behind the counter, this is in Montana, had her mask on, and two guys that came in to use the bathroom, she made a beeline from the back of that desk to just get in front of them and say to them, you've got to have a mask. And they said, I don't have a mask. And she handed them two masks. And I think we have a perception about what's not being done. And yet, I really have seen on this trip what people are trying like heck to do. Are you seeing that?
I actually am. And sometimes I see the employers, or I just see the employees trying their hardest. Sometimes they have the best intent. What we are hoping to do is to give them the most up-to-date and most helpful, just basic information, right? So that employee who ran up to the front to give them the mask, I mean, you know, she's very serious, right, about doing that. We've had some employers who've gone to the point of actually hiring their own nurses to come in part-time to screen people. Probably not necessary, unless, and if you don't do it right, you actually increase the risk of the nurses getting exposed, right? And then we have a whole new problem. So getting the information and then using the information, that's all we can do. This is a new virus, but there's some basic principles to viral transmission that we can still follow, right? We don't need to have additional studies right now about whether or not to wear a mask, whether or not to do social distancing. We know that hand washing is important. We also know that, you know, certain tests are more sensitive than others or more specific than others. We know what the common symptoms are, so we got to believe them when people say them, right? Regardless of whether the test is positive or not. And then, you know, you talked about the part about making sure that we are more leaning toward the side of safety. That's really important. Even if you are young and healthy and just living the life, if you are a person who's transmitting it to somebody who's not like that, you're never going to forgive yourself, right?
I know.
You're going to harm somebody.
Oh, it's devastating, the guilt and shame. I want to just kind of bring us around back to this. I know you've got to run. Your organization, and this is what I want to say about IN, A-Y-I-N, A-N. Did I get that right? IN, right?
IN, like I-N-N,
A-Y-I-N.com. One of the things I loved about this is I was reading about your organization, about yourself. This is about leadership and expertise at every level across the board. So you're bringing resources to the forefront to answer even some of the questions, Dr. Meadows, that most people don't even know they have yet. How did you all get out in front of this?
Well, believe it or not, we are employees and employees ourselves.
Right?
We have families. And we lived this just like everybody else. So we needed to figure it out for ourselves. We knew that we had tools that we could pivot and use in a way that would actually be helpful. We're living this with you. And so what we use for our families, we are extending to our community.
Well, look, you are one of the nation's 50 most influential clinical executives. And that is a point that I want to honor and make sure people know. It is an accomplishment that very few can really even begin to understand, or the blood, the sweat, and the tears that goes in to doing that and being who you are. And I want to thank you for coming out and bringing such a powerful message and educating us. And I wanted to ask you this last question. What is your personal message, Dr. Meadows? What is your personal message? What would you like to leave us with? And how might we support you all in your journey?
My personal passionate message is about not only taking care of yourself, but recognizing that you are part of a family, a community, a workforce. So be responsible. Use the information that is being given to you. Take care of yourselves, but take care of your neighbors as well. Wear your mask.
I hope I get to talk to you again at some point in time and really talk to you about the future and your vision for modern healthcare, because I love that you all are looking at it and recognize the need for change and the need for speed in the change. Thank you so much,
Dr.
That's
great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Let's take a short break. AYIN.com. This is not just about information. It's about heart-to-heart communication, support, and change. We'll be right back.